Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome to Get Big Out Loud with Carrie Knutson and me, Dr. Pat. Look, I've been reflecting on a lot of things here this past week, past month, as we get ready to really look at what does the future hold. And I think there's one thing that we have all learned as we get ready for our next Get Big Out Loud event. And that is, what will our next Get Big Out Loud be? And will it require change? Will it require change in our environment? Will we have to change from the inside out? Today, Carrie Knutson, very, very special guest. She's not a guest. This is the host of her show. But here's what's so cool about this. What's so cool about this is she's taken this on to tell every single one of us that you can thrive through change. You can not only thrive, you can come alive through change. You see, this is what change is about. So we're going to take you on a journey that shows you this is change. How do you do it? There are emotions. And there's a quote that I put for this episode. And I picked it out, and Carrie's going to give us a little synopsis of what her last, how should I say it? Last 6 months of decision-making for change looks like. The quote was, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. Carrie, great topic. Thank you so much. Look, I love this. It's almost like when you're watching TV and they give you the last episode and they give you like a little synopsis, right? A little intro. Give us an update, because this isn't just a topic that you talk about. You are living and breathing this. Give us a snapshot of what you've looked at in your life, what you've changed, and where thriving is fitting in.
Sure. Well, the topic thriving through change came up because I always talk about what I am going through or what I need to learn or what I feel will be helpful to people or some combination of that. And the idea of thriving through change, not just surviving it, came about because over the last few years, there's just been a lot of surviving, getting to the next thing. What do I need to do to manage this? There hasn't been a lot of ability to kind of hope, to kind of long-term plan and to feel confident in the changes we're making. It's been more short-term or kind of changes that are forced or thrust upon us. And so the idea of talking about change, even in my own personal life, thinking about when the pandemic started and I had been speaking before the pandemic, I had been speaking all over the country, different events, groups of people, small, large, it didn't matter, breakout sessions, keynotes, workshops. It had been so fulfilling. And I'd also been working as a therapist in a school, and that had been very fulfilling. And I was at the crux point of like, how can I manage both? And when right before the pandemic happened, I had made finally a decision, like I'm going to pursue speaking full time, and that's what I'm going to do. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and nobody's going anywhere. Certainly no large groups of people, certainly nothing with speaking in public or being in public. And so the idea of change to me when that came, like the change was thrust upon me of like, and my initial mindset is I'll just quit. That's it. I won't do this anymore. I guess that was a good run, but that's it. And so the idea to, when you think about change, and we're going to talk today about the change cycle, sometimes the first thing we do is we resist it. We're against it. We hate it. We deny it, or we have all sorts of feelings around change. And for my own journey, it took me quite a while to figure out, who do I want to be now in a virtual space? And how do I want to get my message out in a virtual space? And the amazing thing that came about through crisis in a way is renewal and rebirth and reorientation to what I can do now instead of what I can't do. And that's when we started our podcast. That's when you came into my life. And I remember thinking about, I don't know how to do a podcast. And you're like, you don't have to, you have good content. Let's talk about it. Right. And then even being a beginner again, and being, how do I be a podcast host? How do I speak in a different way than I do to hundreds of people? How do I speak to one listener at a time? How do I cultivate a message that you can hear while you're walking your dog or doing your dishes or in your car so that you know I'm speaking right to you? And then how do I take my content in a meaningful way and transition it? Because I think sometimes people think it's easy. Oh, just podcast, turn on a mic. And for me, it's so much more complex than that. Yeah. And podcasting is an art form, I feel it. And it's so much more than the mic and the talking. It's the content, yeah. It's the connection, it's the relationships. So all that had to be developed during the pandemic. And I also had to figure out how to be a virtual speaker. And I resisted that. That was really difficult. And the journey from not doing any virtual talks to doing over 100 of them now, like 180 some now is where I'm at, since the pandemic has been really gratifying. But everyone, I think, with change, you want it to look pretty and be like, oh, this bad thing happened, and then I changed, and that was pretty, and or it all worked out. And the part that we don't talk about, which I want to get into today, is that thriving through change is recognizing change is a process, and that it's difficult, and it doesn't look pretty, and it's not always like, oh, look what I did, and I've just done it. It starts and stops and failed attempts. It's things that you cringe at when you're like, oh, I could do that better. It's learning from those experiences. And on the other side of change too, for me, just in my journey, deciding how I was going to show up as a virtual speaker, and then eventually deciding, coming after 2 years of the pandemic and continuing to be a therapist, deciding, yeah, I really do want to be a full-time professional speaker, trainer, coach. And stepping into that was another change. And it involved giving up some things, but it involved also getting some things. But it wasn't, again, overnight. And it is also now, in these last few months of living my new life as a professional speaker, completely focused on that. What's been amazing is I feel like I finally am getting to thriving through changes in my schedule, ways I can show up for people, how focused I can be on things. Also leaving one thing with love so you can step into another thing with love. Like leaving one thing for another and realizing it doesn't have to be bad to make a change. Maybe you just need to make the change. So all in the evolution of the last 2 years, I went from no virtual anything, no podcasting anything, and trying to juggle like who I am and how I show up in the world, to being way more focused on what it means to be a speaker. Also what it means to have a podcast, what it means to be in a virtual space, and what it means to thrive through the change and look back and see my resistance, my denial, my anger, my frustrations, the times I wanted to give up, the times where I felt like, what am I doing? And the times I failed and fumbled that allowed me to get to a place where I'm feeling like I'm thriving through this change. And so that's why I thought this topic was so personal to me, because I have been going through major transition and major change, like many of you, over the last few years. My career, my professional identity, the ways I show up in the world using technology. That's why I wanted to talk about thriving through change, because it's personal. It's very personal to me. And I feel like there's a lot we can talk about that may help our listeners think about changes in their own lives and how they want to show up, not to just survive the change, mm-hmm. but to really thrive through the change.
I love that we're talking about this. And I want to just give people a glimpse of this. Look, I want to take a moment and talk about somebody that influenced me when I was young, at a young age. It's probably not going to think who people believe it is. No, it's not Eleanor Roosevelt. It's not any David Bowie. And I'll tell you why. Where I was trying to find myself at this young age of my life, David Bowie comes out with an album called Honky Dory. And on Honky Dory was the Changes, a song. He created a song. And when that song came out, it was okay. It's kind of a cool little bumpy vibe, but that wasn't it. It was the song that it was a song that had lyrics that explained what he was going through and how he had to face himself. And he starts out and he said, still don't know what I was waiting for. You know, all my time was running wild. And he goes on throughout this song to talk exactly about what you said. Now, why was this an important moment to point out? Yes, at the time, Bowie was in the middle of a lot of changes in the world, but this song was about him. It was about a guy that was being who he was, but not understanding totally who he wanted to become. And the song truly talks about these things that happen. So I want to say this, and I want you to take it away, because I think this one line from the song, this is what I'm facing. Now, I'm looking at this song because I'm looking at a lot of stuff. I can't believe how you pick these topics. And it's like I said to Linda, oh, my God, she's like in my dreams. So he says in the song, I don't know, after the first chorus, I watch the ripples change their size, but never leave the stream of warm impermanence. And so the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. This nobody really understood. But when you look at it, you're watching ripples in your life. But when you are stagnant, the days seem the same. You see, he's talking about this idea they never leave the stream of warm impermanence. I love that word, impermanence. I don't know if he made that up. But let's talk about now, because we're coming. We are the ripples in the stream he's talking about. Not the environment, not COVID. We are the ripples. Tell us about what you've discovered about change and help us thrive today, Carrie.
Yes, well, I'm all for that. And when you talk about stagnation, that's an interesting thing, because a lot of times we can feel that stagnation. Like, I wish I could make this change, or I don't like this. I want to make a change around this. Like, but what we know around change, and there's so much research on change that is very robust and a lot of different perspectives on it. One thing I've taken from the research that I like is this idea of whether you are the one who wants the change. Let's say you're the architect of the change, like I'm ready to make a change, or change is thrust upon you, like I have to change it, I don't want to, or you're a willing participant, like, oh, this change seems good, I'm going along for the ride. No matter what it is that connects us to change, we are human, and our response is driven by our humanness, which means it's going to be messy. It's going to be emotional. We're going to have thoughts and ideas about how it should be, and they'll be how it is. And life has an interesting way, I think, of teaching us lessons through all sorts of kind of ways, I guess, or conduits to say, you may think the change is going to go like this, and then the change is going to happen like this. You may want to learn this, and you're going to learn this. And no matter what happens with change, we have to recognize our humanness. And when you can show up to change being like, I am a human being going through change. So my mind is in some level resisting it, even if I say I want it. And which is why when people say, well, how does that look? You know how everyone wants to lose weight, and Sunday night you're ready to do it and start your diet tomorrow? The diet starts tomorrow. And then by Monday at lunch, you have a donut in the break room because you can't take the stress. And you're like, I'll start next week, right? And you say you want the change, but it's hard when real life intervenes, or our emotions intervene, or our conditioned thinking intervenes. So it's not as easy to just say, like, I'm going to change, or else we all would just do it. Why is it so hard? Well, we're human. We're human. And we can want a lot of things and talk a good talk, and then our actions and behaviors and ideas sometimes take us around a different direction. So I think the number one thing we can think about to start with when we talk about how do I thrive through change, not just survive it, is honor your humanness. You're messy. You have emotions that are contradictory. You might be excited about something and then sad about the loss at the same time. Or you may feel like hopeful that something can change, but then you're resistant at the same time. You can hold two things to be true, but it's messy, it's emotional. And also, no amount of degrees or experience or whatever you think is going to make you handle the change. I guess what I want to say, there's a quote that I always use that I love. It's like, you're very unique, but you're not that special. Okay. So whenever you think, oh, I'm uniquely positioned to handle this change because I have this degree or I've had this experience. Yeah, in some ways maybe, but also you're not that special. You have emotions that are going to come up. You have things that you're going to feel and do that aren't in alignment. And I think when you can let yourself off the hook and be like, I am human. I am human. Yeah. Then you can show up to change with the messiness and the starts and stops and the redirections that it's going to take to make a successful change. If that's your baseline of, I'm going to accept my humanness, I'm going to know this probably is going to be messier than I think, and that my emotions are going to play a huge part in this, in my success, And I'm going to have to do it for the long game. I can't just give up the minute it's not going how I think it's going to go. How do I stay in it for the long game? So that's where I want to start, with the baseline of you are recognize and honor your humanness in the process of change. Whether you're the architect of planning the change, you are the change is thrust upon you, or you're a collaborative participant in the change. It does not matter. You are still human.
It doesn't matter. And I love that you brought this up, because this is the last reference I'm going to make to Bowie's song, because it was one that nobody really understood. They said, did he actually say that? And he goes on to say this, and this leads us to the process of change, because you're going to walk us through it. We need to understand it. He goes on to say, and these children that you spit on. So he's talking about what was going on at the time and is going on now. We have children that are making change in this world. But he said, these children, as they try to change their worlds, they are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through. Now, I think he just outlined a process of change where he's saying, they're aware, we're aware. How important is it to be aware? See, what you described for yourself, you not only was aware, but you were intent. But there is a process of change. And I wonder if we could just tell people there is a process. So that the question I want to ask people listening, can you pinpoint where you are? Right?
Yes.
So what is the process you refer to, Carrie, when you think about change?
Well, there's, again, a million models around change, so much research. So I like, when I think about things, what is the simplest thing that I can remember that makes sense? So Elizabeth Kubler-Ross had a model related to grief that then a lot of people transferred into how do we handle change. And then that's been modified over the years. So it's called, the model I like is called the change curve, originally based on Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's work, then kind of shifted. And what I like is it's very simple to understand. It starts off with the time and emotions are on axis, on one axis. Time is on one, emotions are on the other. And so time is this way and emotions are this way. I have to think how I'm looking at my screen. And what happens with the curve is that the humans tend, when faced with change, to start up straight up with denial, complete the denial of the change. And then with denial, you can have the change, but a lot of times too, when we think about denial, you can see something's happening, but you're like, fine, it can happen. I'm not being part of it. I'm not, you might not be in denial of the event, but you might be in denial of your connection to the event or your role in it. And that's really difficult. So as what it says is the emotions over here, as time goes on. So there's some level of denial that we have to get to. And there's also a level of shock that is involved in that too. Like with a change, it can be kind of shocking. And living in that place is very typical for people for a while. Like, and some people say that's the bargaining stage. No, it can't be happening. I don't believe it. That's the first stage. Then the next stage goes into this idea of uncertainty. What will happen to me now? How will I handle the change? What should I do? And a lot of feelings that go along with that are connected to anger. And what I like to say is anger is a cover emotion for many other emotions, but anger is one thing we kind of go to really quickly. So you might say, I'm angry, but you might feel overwhelmed. You might feel rejected. You might feel guilty. You might feel estranged. Whatever big word comes up, a lot of people, instead of using those more succinct words, just pick anger. So that's why I say anger is a cover emotion, but it's very prominent in the uncertainty phase. And however anger shows up for you, sometimes people get really energized by their anger. Some people get really quiet with their anger. Some people fume. It's just a different process, but it is connected to this idea of uncertainty and what's next and how am I going to manage this and the reality creeping in that the change is happening. And then as you go through the curve, the next stage is like a turning point or what we call curiosity or an exploration moment where you might think, what's possible for me now? What are my options? What could this look like? And again, if you think about emotions over here and time on this axis, it usually takes time to go on this axis, to go through time You know, everyone says time heals all wounds. I think time is a great perspective giver, a giver of perspective. And if you can see yourself going through the process, you're like, oh, it's going to take a little time to do this. So knowing that, like, you can't go from denial to turning point. Like it's you have to kind of go through these things. And when in the turning point curiosity phase, that's really when you start to open up to what's possible for you. If you can, there's a quote that I love that says, have a mind open by wonder instead of one closed by belief. If you can wonder what might be possible, if you can wonder rather than belief, like, this is only true for me, this is all I have. Like, if you can just be curious. So that's really helpful during that time. And then there's the moving forward, or we call acceptance time. And in that phase, when we get to that, we can step into the newer either version of ourselves, the ideas that we have. We start to habitualize behavior. We start to come from a place of what has affected us in the past may not take up as much space. We might not be influenced by it that much, but the way the curve goes, what I like it is it starts here, it goes down and then dips back up. And I feel like that's kind of a good visual for the process of change. The thing happens, we go down in it for a while, we explore what's possible, and then we kind of come back up.
Yeah.
And that whole idea of the change cycle, and again, this is just one example. There's a million different ideas around change, but I like this because the denial, the uncertainty, the curiosity, and the moving forward are all key indicators of where am I in this process? And when I work with people, I always like to say, like, your whole life is not on this graph. So you're not saying, oh God, I'm in the denial phase, right? You're like, on this issue, I may be in denial, and this I might be in the curiosity, and this I might have moved forward already. And parts of our lives, some things take years to change, like years. Sometimes it's been a lifetime. Other things, we're like, yep, I made that change pretty easily. So you can't just throw yourself up on the change curve because you'll always lose. You'll always be like, well, I'm just stuck here. No, there's different issues, different aspects of your life, different things you're working on. Take those individually and throw them up on the change curve.
Yeah, let me put up the diagram for people to see.
Oh yeah.
Tricky me is going to try this. So just hold on 1 second. Let's put it up. Just give me a second here. Let's go here. And let's go here. And so really what we're talking about, and let's get all this other crazy stuff out of the way. And so what we're talking about is this. This is from the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this is one. This shows that exactly what you were talking about. Right. Mm-hmm. It shows the ups and the downs. You know, it shows what this looks like. It's really a beautiful model, isn't it? You know, it's something that people can look at. And thank you, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Thank you so much for this. Mm-hmm. But don't you and I go through this on a regular basis, Carrie? I mean, I don't know exactly where the different points are, but I can tell you that, yes, they happen, right? And if we take a look, and I looked at this relative to COVID, what happened when COVID came, and shock and surprise at the event, an understatement. But even more than that, not even understanding the event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we could go through and look at this. But in the end, there's an adjustment that can be made. Like when you get to this last part, decision and integration, and we're going to talk about that when we come back, or when we look at a experiment, you have some stories to share. Mm-hmm. Because I know for a lot of people, they don't realize they went through this, but there's an opportunity. And it's the opportunity where you go from that low part in the curve, right, Carrie? Mm-hmm. And you start to look and engage in a new situation. Right. You and I both have stories about what we did and how we did it. And then you have to decide something. You see, we think change happens to us and we do not have a single thing in our control, but we have control of our decisions. When we come back, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about how this model, from what you shared, right? How does this model then help us go from that like low point down there, that depression, low mood, lacking in energy, that right there,
right,
to thriving? Because it does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Ah, okay, before we go to break, Kerry Knutson, Get Big Out Loud. But how do we know more about Get Big Out Loud? How do people hire you? How do people find out about your coaching, which we didn't even talk about that yet? But how did they, all things Kerry Knutson, how do we do it?
I love it. You can find me at knutsonspeaks.com under any social media at Knutson Speaks. And under my page, there's information about coaching, for personal things or like they were working through, but also on how to be a better speaker. And then I do all kinds of presentations and people call me and what I love to do is customize my content to the needs and the outcomes for the particular organization. And I also do coaching in small groups for people who a lot of times at work, they'll hear me speak and they're like, we want to talk about this more. So then we get in groups around that. And it's really exciting. I also have a one woman show that is actually going to come in this. We're going to do it, I think in January. We're finally figuring out the date. And so that's coming up. So I have a lot of information on my website. I do a lot of different things, but everything I do is connected to speaking, talking, connecting with people in a way that feels authentic, that brings great content directly to you.
I love it. When we come back, here's where we're going. You heard us talk a little bit. We showed you that curve. But how do you handle change? Mm-hmm. When we come back, I love when Kerry talks story. We're going to talk about the stories in our life, what we've gone through, what you can do. We're going to talk about how you move to the end, how you get to hope, how you process loss, because she and I are not here to tell you that we don't believe that there has been loss. We do believe, but we also believe in hope, excitement, optimism, trust, and how to surrender. When we come back, all of those are going to be instrumental in what Kerry has to say. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Not just talk. Conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Oh, Get Big Out Loud. I am Dr. Pat. I get to do this show with the most amazing Get Big Out Loud, living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life. Kerry Knutson is the host of this show. And by the way, we're talking about thriving through change. I love the model you did. But before we get in here and we just say, look, here are some examples of literally how this is working or how it could work. Tell people again how they can find you, how they can stay on top of the show that you're going to be doing next year, all of the above. And coaching, you coach people. We don't talk about that enough.
Yes. So I do all the things you mentioned. You can find out about me at www.knutsonspeaks.com. And that's K-N-U-T-S-O-N speaks with an S.com. I'm on all social media with that. And you could find out more about what I do on my website or on my social media channels. And the things I'm offering are so exciting to me because One part of it is presentations, giving presentations, keynotes, workshops. Another part of it is coaching, one-on-one or small groups around the ideas I talk about and helping people. Also helping people who want to become better speakers. That's another exciting thing that I do. And then I have a one-woman show coming up and we're just picking the date. So on the next podcast, I'll know the date for the 2023. And it's a one-woman storytelling show about our connections and our human connections and through story. It's wonderful. It's called Ain't Never Met a Stranger.
Love it. You're so like, I want to be Carrie when I grow up. I so do want to be Carrie Knutson when I grow up. Look, what you're doing right now is so needed in the world, but I don't need to tell you that. You know it. You know what it's like to be a counselor, to work with young adults, to work with kids. You know what it's like to work with adults. You have seen every iota of what people have gone through these past 3+ years. Now, the question is, that's a beautiful model I put up there. Thank you, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross Foundation, for that. Thank you, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, for the body of work that all of us are making our own, even though you never intended it to be used that way. But now, how do we take it and put it into real life, Carrie?
Yes. Well, I'm going to give you I think I speak best in stories and they're more memorable. And I want to take you through the cycle by telling you a story and showing in my own experience, like how it turned out. So you can see the stages and then you can see the progression. And the one thing that underlies any movement, in my opinion, through the stages is not only starting to acknowledge the change and get rid of that, but acknowledge your feelings about the change. The feelings piece cannot be dismissed. And many people understandably like, oh, I want to do everything but the emotions, but you have to recognize the loss, the frustration, and the disappointment. And at the same time, you can hold two things at the same time. You can have those feelings and you can say, but I'm hopeful for what could be, or I'm at least curious about what might happen, or I maybe even feel a little excited about something. You can hold two things. And so remembering that through this process will help you, because it doesn't have to be such, static or frustrating type of thing when you think about going through change.
Let me just give you like a little pop culture tidbit before you roll on that, because somebody called me out on it the other day. And they said, I said to them, you know, I want to see Russell Wilson do really, really well. And they said, my God, Pat, you're not a Denver Broncos fan. I said, okay, but both can exist. Both can be equally existing in my consciousness. I'm not anti Denver Broncos fan, but I really do want to see Russell Wilson do well for a lot of reasons. And so there's a perfect example of I hold two things. Yes. Maybe I can still want Russell Wilson to do well and still not have the Denver Broncos. Please don't email me about this. Jessica is a Bronco fan. So we're going to just get that. But I can hold both, right?
Right.
And we do it all the time.
We do it all the time, but we forget in change because sometimes we feel like, I don't know. I think it's easier to attach to one emotion, and usually the stronger ones are what we perceive as the negative emotions. So then we attach to those because those have more robust, I'd say, like energy. And sometimes we forget that we can hold two things to be true. And also we forget that I like to always say emotions are not good or bad. So if you're angry, normally we say anger is a bad emotion. It's a negative emotion. We shouldn't be angry. We don't want to be angry. But I always say, thank you, anger, because when you think about anger, if you look at anger and you say, hey, anger, have you ever helped me set a boundary, make a decision, push me to get out of something I knew wasn't right, you know, do something different because I was angry about it? How about thank you, anger? How about it's letting you know something's not right and helping you express it? And so when we have these emotions, instead of saying they're good or bad, I say they just are. They just are. Also, I say they just are because, like, you might say to me, Carrie, I'm feeling really overwhelmed by something. And I might be like, well, Dr. Pat, I mean, you shouldn't feel that way. I mean, it's obvious, just simple. And you might be like, no, I do. I actually feel overwhelmed. I'm like, well, you shouldn't. You should feel more, whatever. And sometimes people do that. We negate. And I just say, no, you can't feel that way. You shouldn't. And you know what happens? You're like, oh, I know how I feel. Don't you tell me how you know, we get really... If I said you didn't feel how you felt, watch out. There'd be a cat fight, right? Because you know how you feel. And so we do that, though we deny other people's emotions because we don't understand them, or we deny our own emotions because we shouldn't feel that way. So again, before we can even talk about thriving through change, we have to talk about that emotional piece because it's so vital. And remember I talked about you are human. So your response to change is driven by your humanness, which means it's not always clear cut, it's messy, and emotions are real. The emotions are there. And if we can think about emotions from a place of acceptance and like, oh, all of these have something to teach me, or I'm going through these emotions because I'm human and this is my response, instead of judgment, shame, guilt, or overwhelm, all the things that we shouldn't feel this way. That's a really great place to start with the change. And that's why I just want to preface, the curve is the curve, but the emotional piece is what I'd say the key to the change, to making thriving through change.
Well, let's talk about something, because I want to talk about crying. I want to talk about crying. My earlier years, you'd never catch me crying. You'd catch me dying before I'd be crying.
That should be a bumper sticker. You catch me dying before crying.
I'm not kidding. You catch me dying before crying.
Okay.
And then I changed. And then I met people like Linda and her family, which taught me how to be vulnerable. But even today in the world, the idea of crying and grieving, and I know you have a story. And I will tell you this. I just recently watched the docu-story on Sinead O'Connor. I think every woman out there should watch this story, because this is a woman that created one of the most powerful songs ever done and then did some crazy things in the public. But when she did that song, Nothing Compares to You, a tear ran down her face. Not fake, a real tear. Because what she was reflecting upon was her relationship with her mom. Talk about crying and change, if you could.
Definitely. And I have the opposite bumper sticker view. I'd be crying before dying. Because I am a natural born crier. Like, I cry at a lot of different things. And people have actually commented on that. If I share that I cry, they would say, oh, you're a therapist though. Like, and you cry. I'm like, yes, because I'm human. But I think people have these perceptions of who can cry and who can't. And also is crying, you can't keep it together. You have no control. I know for myself, I process a lot of emotion through crying, for good things and bad things. And so when I can acknowledge that about myself, that is a way I release a lot of my emotions. And for some people, they don't need to cry. They don't want to cry. That's not just saying everyone needs to cry now. But I think acknowledging for myself, I don't see it as a sign of weakness that I do cry. And I noticed throughout my life, if I look at changes in my life, like going from high school to college is a change I definitely wanted to make. I was ready. I was excited. And I cried all the way from Broomfield, Colorado to Mount Vernon, Iowa. I cried the whole time because I was grieving the loss. And then when I moved from my condo to my house, and I wanted a house, I was excited about it. I cried. And I just thought about it. I'm sad of my condo life now. And I wanted the house. It wasn't that I didn't, but I needed to who I was in that time. Even at my wedding, which I couldn't wait to get married to Joe, I was so happy. And it was a beautiful day. And I just remember though crying because I was so happy. I was so amazed that it all came together. And I recognized this was a big turning point. Like, this day I was releasing a lot of who I was before getting married. So if I look at the change curve, for me, crying is a big part of it. And when I'm going through change, I have to acknowledge that I need to process that way. And again, not everyone does, but imagine if I denied that part of myself and I said, well, you're weak for crying, or you shouldn't cry, or you said you wanted the change and then now you're crying. Like, it's part of how I know myself. And so when I know myself, sometimes even if I'm getting emotional, I'm like, oh, I must be going through some changes that I might even be in denial about, but my emotions know it first. So again, however it looks for you, emotions are just vehicles to express our human experience. They are not good or bad. And however you feel is how you feel. And denying that, either have other people deny it, or what is worse, when we deny it. I shouldn't be so angry. I shouldn't get this upset. what that does is it tells, there's a little part of your brain that says, don't trust yourself. You can't trust yourself. You don't feel what you feel. You don't know who you are. You don't know. And you don't, that voice is not relevant. You don't want that voice to get too much power. You want to own, this is how I feel. This is how I am. How do I need to appropriately express my emotion? How do I need to optimize my own understanding of my emotions? How can I show up to my emotions to help them guide me like an internal compass rather than something I deny or reject or judge? Do you see the difference in how powerful that can be to stand in this place with emotions rather than that other place? It just doesn't serve us if we do it from that the other way.
And, you know, I love that we're talking about this because you can have multiple things going on at the same time. And, you know, before anybody emails me, I just want to say, I don't know what cable channel this docuseries of Sinead O'Connor was on, but it'll be very enlightening for those of us that judge this young woman when she was younger and didn't quite understand it, because she was both. She was both sad. You could see it in that song. None of us knew what her backstory was and the abuse she went through. And at the same time, she was angry, because when you hear her songs, you really get a sense of she was passionate about something. But the thing that I want to talk with you about is we don't understand that we can be we can have a multiverse of emotions. And sometimes we're just hit with more than one, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. But that's the part of our messiness and our humanness that I feel part of my mission, I think, is to just affirm that experience for people that we all have a lot of experiences and situations, yeah, which have a lot of emotion attached, yeah, that sometimes needs sorting out. Sometimes we're like, that's what it was. But it's just the idea of don't deny who you are and how you show up to things, yeah, and don't make other people wrong because you have to be right. Because your perspective is not everyone else's perspective, and your needs are not everyone else's needs. Like, no, not as many people. My husband doesn't need to cry it out in the way that I do, but I can tell sometimes I need to cry it out or talk it out. I'm hugely process oriented, and he's not a crier and he's not a big processor. So when we talk, we have to like match each other, and he's wonderful. We've been married 16 years and we're so different. We're so different, right? But I honor and respect. I'm not all of a sudden like, you better process like me. You better emote like me. And he's not like, you better zip it up like me, or you better like, you know, keep it condensed, right? Because that's not how we show up to the world. Yeah. And that to me is the trust and love we have in each other to respect each other's needs has let us be married for this long. Yeah. And I look forward to giving that message to people. It's almost like permission to show up as you are and, yeah, to acknowledge your emotions and to let them be an internal compass and to guide you rather than to reject them. And we lose their wisdom when we do that.
Kerry, look, you and I went through a range of emotions, and I want to just get right at it because I want to help people understand how they can manage change. But one of the things we went through, and we're not alone, many people went through this. There are so many ways we can say it. But when you got the news that every event was canceled, every gig, when I got the event that anything we planned was canceled. Now, this was before we had the thank you, Zoom, for stepping up. I mean, somebody planted Zoom in advance of this to help so many people. But there is something that went through your mind. See, because we sit here in the aftermath as if we didn't go through a whole lot of stuff. What went through your mind? Because I know what went through mine.
Oh, my, it was like, I will quit. I have to stop everything. And my dream is dead. I couldn't even envision online speaking. I couldn't envision anything. And I really did. It was such a gut punch. Like, it felt like just viscerally it hurt. Yeah. And also then it was hard because it wasn't like my singular experience. It was a collective experience. Everything was getting shut down. Everybody's dreams were being dashed. Everyone's plans were being replanned. But it was very personal because it was my life and my dream and my thing that was happening. And I had just started to be so productive in my speaking in terms of really stepping into, like, even saying I'm a professional speaker. When someone asks, what do you do? I always said, I'm a therapist who speaks sometimes. And then I practice saying, I'm a therapist and a professional speaker. I'm a therapist and a speaker. And then finally I said, I'm a professional speaker. I just like own that that's my next thing. And I just gotten into that. I just started feeling like on the top of my game, and especially flying around to different conferences. And there's nothing like that to make me feel like I'm winning. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm not winning anymore because I can't do what I've been doing in the way I did it. And it was just crushing. It just felt horrible. And I stayed in that, all the emotions, mad, overwhelmed, pissiness, if that's a word I can use. It just straight up anger. And feel like, you know, that feeling when you raise your fist in the air, like, it's not okay. Like, it's unjust.
And then the whole role changed because you had children too. I mean, this is a compounded thing, right?
Oh, yes.
And it was compounded.
So many people can relate to this idea of like, how many dishes can one family of four go through in a day? Like, how many Zoom calls and sitting? And again, technology, I didn't even know more than my USB port existed on my computer, let alone how to make sure my internet speeds could hold four people going online, dealing with kids, dealing with their needs, dealing with my husband, having enough space in our house to all of us be in separate places where we could focus. Like, it was like, when you look at it and I think, how did we do it? We just did it like everyone else, right? We just, but it, again, our experience is collective, but our personal experience is like, how do we manage? And the scars from that, to me, like, not just my speaking career, but then helping my family get through this and then wondering about the fate of the world, the existential crisis, and then feeling really mad and frustrated that I don't get to do what I want. Like that ego part of me came up really big. Like, I just want to do what I want to do and not have to do what everyone else needs. And I can't do any speaking. And so a lot of emotion around that came up, just crankiness, sadness, frustration. And then when will it end? How will it end? Not knowing anything. And then just being fine. This is what our life is now. Fine. Just being resigned, you know? And the interesting thing is, though, and that's where I was in the curve. And then the part that came out was just the start of a change was someone who called me and said, can you do a virtual event? And in my mind, I'm like, no, I cannot do a virtual event. Virtual events are horrible. And how would I even do it? I don't even know how to turn on the video camera on my computer. Literally, no, is what part of me wanted to say. But then the part of me that wanted to speak was like the tiniest, okay, all right. Yes, I want to see. And then the whole figuring out how to do it was a hilarious, that could have been a sitcom on its own. Like, how do I do this now? And the turning point for me was I was walking around my neighborhood, and I call it walking mad. When I'm angry, I don't try to walk like I'm exercising. I just stomp it out. Like, I walk mad and I just feel. And so one of my neighbors was out and I said, are you doing okay? I'm like, no, I'm mad. I'm supposed to be like a virtual speaker. Thinking about it. I don't know how to do it, but I said, yes, now I have to figure this out. And this, my neighbor says, Carrie, do you know what I do for a living? I'm like, no, but you have a lovely garden. I always appreciate your, you know, your lawn. And he said, I'm a video producer. Do you want some help with your video? And it is in that moment of saying, yes, because sometimes we have to ask for help. Sometimes we don't know, but I think expressing what was going on and then having someone say, do you want some help? I feel like the universe was like, whew.
Yeah.
And what you want, then everyone who listens to the story wants the end to be like, and then it was great. I did all my videos and it was perfect. No, it was horrible. The learning curve was 100%. I look, my first video was ridiculous. And my second one wasn't much better. My third one was a little bit better. But the whole thing about this is you have to show up to try to step into a new version of yourself, to learn, to be a beginner again, to help have others give you tips and tools, and to say yes to trying and trying again. And to not criticizing yourself when it's not perfect, because then you won't try again. And you need to, if you're going to go along the curve, you need to keep trying. And it doesn't have to be perfect to be good. And sometimes good enough is good enough. And me doing my first virtual presentation, I should apologize to everyone who had to sit through that. Right? Thank you. Thank you, because you gave me a chance to do a second one and a third one. And now I'm into the 170s now. And now I got my cords, my lights, my mics, my extensions. I know how to do a Zoom like chat. I can break you into groups. I can and when someone calls, I say, do you want to pre-record a virtual or an in-person? Like I'm a boss, right? But if you compare the two, It took a while, and it was a forced change. It was a change I never would have made. But if I look at the journey of that, I'm fully on this side now, right? And the journey itself was so amazing because I didn't even know how it would turn out, that it would be such a gift on this side, and that would give me so much confidence, and it also give me so much gratitude, because now when I'm back in front of live audiences, I feel like it's a party. Like, I feel so grateful.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to be in front of live audiences. So I'm showing up to even more excitement around this profession, around the work that I'm doing, because I feel like I know the difference, and I can perform on different platforms in different ways and show up as my best self because of I went through the thing, and now I am thriving. I can honestly say now with the virtual world and presenting in that way, I am thriving.
I will say one thing, and I know we've got a few minutes left. I will say one thing that I realized. One is, I want to say to everybody out there, we have done previous shows about loss. We know that one of the greatest, greatest emotional, how should I say it, emotional roller coaster rides during these past 3 years has been either losing a loved one or being afraid you're going to lose a loved one. We know that. It has been crisis after crisis. And what we're talking about is something that is so important that people are not talking about. As humans and humanity, we have emerged with a larger toolkit of how to get through our day-to-day. We have gotten through with a new level of understanding of what we're capable of. And we have literally rewritten the book on possibilities. Mm-hmm. Now, it hasn't been easy. And I will probably say this right now, that contrary to what you've heard in different places that COVID is over, it is not over for those of us that are running small businesses. And we want to acknowledge that. But what Carrie and I are hoping you will take from this today is we don't want the suffering to still be there for you. Right, Carrie? Look, let's take a minute and talk about where do we go from here, right? We're not undermining the fact that this has been hard, but we're trying to help people to say, we acknowledge in the world I live in small businesses with threatening letters on paying your EIDL loan, with every ad we get in the state of Washington talking about the government hiring 97,000 IRS people to do what? I mean, all of this is in our consciousness, and yet we have become stronger now. So none of that will take us down, will it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I love that you brought up the idea of what can we take away from this now, and not minimizing what people have been through. And it's not like, well, we've all been through it, so just suck it up. Everyone's in the same boat. It's acknowledging your unique situation, what you've been through, and maybe what you're still growing through. And that's really important, so that you can then, in my mind, if you take that and you're realistic with it, and you can say, where am I on this change curve? What would help me move forward? And for some of us, it's this idea of like, could I just be curious about what's possible for me? Could I acknowledge what I've been through and then have some hope and curiosity about what's possible? And then could I enlist help if I need it? Could I share my struggle so I'm not alone on the journey? And could I find ways for me, for myself, or for my group, or for whatever I'm trying to help through the change? Can I find ways to take action towards the change instead of feeling like whatever's going to happen is going to happen? Can you show up to change to say, like, I can't do everything, but I can do something. And I don't know the whole thing, but I know this much. Or I can't take every action, but I can take this small action towards change. And so that you can show up with some confidence in your own ability to get through change. And whatever that is, as you're going through the change curve, remember, the goal is not survival. That is not the goal, to just be like, I hope I make it. I hope I make it. It is to find ways to thrive through change. So that's like how you think about change, how you process the change, how you take action towards change. And really, I feel like if you put that all together, it's like, what do I need as a human being as I'm going through this change process? In all these different areas of my life, what do I need to show up to my life with confidence, in a way I can be resilient, in a way I can connect with other people, because everyone else is changing, and that's true, but it doesn't minimize my changes. And what do I need for me to show up? Because the world does not benefit from you staying stuck in change, from being overwhelmed and from just surviving. The world benefits from you thriving. We need your gifts. We need your talents. We need you to show up in certain ways. And I feel like that's the part, if anything, that can motivate us to be like, the world needs me to show up. How am I going to do that in ways that are appropriate and exciting and helpful and in ways that really move the needle forward? But don't forget to have curiosity about what's possible for you, especially when you get stuck under maybe the sadness of change or the hard parts. There's hope, there's curiosity, and there's possibility. And that's when you can ride out the curve. I really think that getting on this end, don't forget to look back and acknowledge how far you have come.
Wow. Carrie, thank you so much. Let's take a minute. Carrie Knutson, everybody, much more to come. Again, how do people find out about you? How do they work with you? How do they kind of follow, like, where you're going? Tell us all that. And thank you for today.
Well, I always post what I'm doing on my Instagram account and my Facebook. So I always say who I'm speaking to and what I do. And that's at Knutson Speaks. And that's K-N-U-T-S-O-N Speaks with an S. Knutson Speaks. And I also have a website that tells things that I offer around presentations, coaching, and my show. And a lot of times people just email me to reach out and say, here's what I'm thinking. How do you think you can help? If they like my energy and style, we do a lot. I do a lot of work with people around what's possible. What kind of event are you running? What do you think you might want? How can I take my topics and connect them to the outcome you want for the group? So a lot of my work is in possibility and curiosity, which is what I'm talking about today.
I love it. And Carrie, thank you so much for today. And I know there's a quote that you have from John Maxwell for the show today. That's what I want you to leave us with here today.
Yes, I'm going to read it because I want to make sure I got it just right. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. And I love that idea of change is going to happen. And we know that because seasons change, kids grow up. If you look at your life, that changes. But I love the end of this. Growth is optional. And the idea of growing through change, being open-minded through change, connecting to your best self, understanding your humanness, that is where we grow. And that growth is optional. The growth part is what helps us thrive. I hope all of you sincerely find ways to grow through change and thrive through change.
Carrie Knutson, everybody. I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you so much for tuning us in and turning us on. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.